on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, talking nothing but rugby league for the next hour or so. We're lucky to have in the show tonight wing fullback for the Halifax Rugby League Football Club, James Saltonstall. Say a quick hello, James.
Hi there.
And we're giving away a family pass down at the Halifax home match against Hawke'a this weekend. Massive match for them. They need to win this game if Featherston don't get the win over Toulouse the day before, but we'll get to that in a little bit more detail. Ewan is also on the show this evening. Producer Ewan, he's going to add his 5 cents every now and again when I
chip
point.
In when I
that's
come,
it. Just chipping. No Jakey today, no Leon, no Aaron Bauer, but we have loads of rugby league chat. So stick with us. We're going to kick it off, and here we go.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Welcome to the show, James. Round of applause, Ewan. Round of applause, Ewan. Look, normally we have a bigger gallery than what we've got here today, but welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
No, it's good to be here.
It's good to see you. Look, you're only a young man, but you've travelled around the world of rugby league thus far. Cut your teeth, so to speak, over at Warrington. Spent some time with the Bradford Bulls. Finished off the 2014 season, as we were just talking about it, with York, and then signed for Halifax. How's your Halifax journey been over the last 3 years?
Yeah, no, it's been good. As a Halifax lad, it's always enjoyable to go to your hometown and pull on the shirt, play for the team you supported as a kid. So it couldn't have worked out much better for me, really.
Well, what was your amateur club growing up?
I used to play at Siddle.
Siddle, so you're a Luke Robinson boy as well, eh?
Yeah, and no, I played about 10 years down there. So.
Yeah. Oh, good. One of the things before we go any further, Ewan, I've got to throw this question sort of in your direction. We were discussing it before the show. BBC Wages are out now. What's his name? Chris Evans, he's on 1.8 million, something like that.
Yeah.
Gary Lineker. 1.4 mm-hmm. million. Doesn't that demand anyone that comes on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, we should get an advance,
a little bit more cash? Speak to Tony McKenzie.
Well, I'm kind of doing that. I'm hoping Tony's listening right now.
He's always listening, mate. Always.
What do you reckon? You should be picking up. James come on the show on the goodness of his own heart to help promote the game down at the Shea this coming weekend. But look, don't you think you should be getting a fee, you know, high-profile athlete like you are?
Well, if there's any spare cash knocking around, I wouldn't say no.
You and what about that?
Well, it's Tony McKenzie. So,
yeah, he's got quicker hands than rugby league players, hasn't he? I fired it at you, and who's the producer of the show, and his quick hands are straight upstairs.
That's the art of delegation, though.
It is, yeah, and you're very good at it. Love Island has taken this country by storm. I think it's absolutely it kills me. Maybe because it's my age. I'm 41 now. So maybe I'm just too old for it and I just don't get it. But look, Ewan brought it up before. You absolutely love it, don't you?
Yeah, no, I'm a big follower of Love Island. It's probably the best show on TV at the minute.
And Ewan, how old are you?
37 next
37?
Yep.
You're growing up, mate.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Well, do I have to say any more?
I know I'm wrong. People's guilty pleasure. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I know I'm wrong because how can the whole country be wrong? The whole country's watching this program.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about it, and I'll listen to 5 minutes of it, and I melt. I feel sorry for the people
on
the show.
I've never watched it previous to this series, but my good lady wife. Said at her work that everyone talks about it and we can't miss this series. So she got me into it. That's my excuse. But I do get a bit of withdrawal on a Saturday night when it's not on.
Are you serious? Oh my God, I heard it. What about yourself, James? How did you get into it? Is it just...
What was life
look,
become,
how old are you?
23.
23. I mean, this is right up your street, though. I can get how you can get into this. The reason why I say that is because the people on the show... are your generation. They're your age group. They're dealing with relationships and going through the same sort of emotional turmoil you are, that you can relate to it, can't you?
Yeah, no, I understand what they're going through, obviously. I've watched it from the first series, so if think it's got better and better and it'll just keep growing.
But don't you think it's just terrible, though, when the show itself...
In terms of ratings, I mean, ITV2, I don't think I've ever had anything as high as that, as what they're doing now. Right? It's enormous.
Oh, it's horrible. It's so cringeworthy, you know. But I got to admit, you know, movies like Jackass and Borat, you know, those sort of, I can't watch those either. Just things that make you cringe. Oh. And that is just basically an hour worth of cringing every single night for the last 6 weeks. I'm going to talk about it now because it's coming to an end this week. My wife's informed me that it's coming to an end.
Yep.
Now, my wife has got a master's degree, and I'm like, how can such an intelligent person like you actually be absorbed into this culture, this thing here?
It's guilty pleasures, mate. That's what I'm saying. It's guilty pleasures.
Isn't it? I know I'm wrong. I'll try to get over it. I'll try to get over it. Let's talk rugby league, though. We were talking before the at the beginning of the show, massive weekend for Halifax. Massive. I mean, first... You're sitting at fourth position at this point in time, right in that position to go through to the Super 8 qualifiers. Your points for 30 points that you have on the league table. You've got Toulouse biting at your heels on 28 points. Now Toulouse are at home to Featherston. Featherston are above you on 31 points. Now they play on Saturdays traditionally in. The south of France. They will play on Saturday this weekend. Featherston can do Halifax a real favour, can't they? They can keep Yorkshire strong by going over in the right frame of mind and actually putting Toulouse to the sword.
Yeah, I know it's not usually heard of that Halifax are cheering on Featherston, as it's quite a big game generally, but for one-off occasion, I think we'd like Featherston to win this week.
And if you have a look at... Toulouse, your game on the following day, on the Sunday, you've got Holkaer. So Holkaer gone through this season very, very strong, 39 points out and out, you know, league leaders for the season. I mean, they have a Super League style team. They're all full time. You would argue they've got a stronger team in 2017 than they had when they were in the Super League in 2016. But you've got to think to yourself, you've got to hope, then maybe they're turning up in the wrong frame of mind. You know, stick the queue in the rack for a week, boys. Prepare for the Super 8 qualifiers.
Yeah, well, that'd be good for us. Obviously, we're going into this week with a lot of confidence. We've just been to Toulouse and to Featherston and took two big wins there. So hopefully take that confidence and we can maybe pick off Ulkar this week as well.
So head coach Richard Marshall, he must be trying to impress upon you guys. And I know it's hard. Look, I've been a player and you try to focus on your own job. And I'm sure that's what Rich is going to be saying. Actually, I saw, do you know, and you won't know, and I'm not sure you do, but I saw Richard doing some secret fitness exercises next to the Holiday Inn and Brig House. I'm for sure it was him. He was doing hill sprints. This is no word of a lie. I'm driving to work at just trying to get onto the motorway, and it's about 7:30 in the morning, and he's doing hill sprints.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. He likes to keep himself fit, and I think he thinks if he's looking good, then it should. The players have got to
feel the same. Yeah. And walk it, you mean?
Yeah, correct.
No, it's not. It's vanity. It's purely vanity. I get keeping yourself trim. I do the same. I go to the gym, I everything. But hill sprints, they are hard. Of all the things you got, cross trainer, yeah. Do swimming pool, do beach weights, not hill sprints.
Yeah, I think when I finish playing, I don't think you'll find me running up many hills.
Mate, you won't find me. I've been retired for 6 years now. I won't be running up any hills either. So, but anyway, just back on that though, what has Richard been impressing upon you guys?
No, just making sure, confidence really, telling us that we are good players and we deserve to be where we are. And if we continue playing like we can, there's no reason why we can't get the win on Sunday and cement his position in that top four.
Well, you are good. I mean, you put Holkaer aside. Look at the points that London Broncos finished two wins above there. Featherston Rovers only have a draw above you. I mean, really, really, what a battle it was for that top four position, because obviously there's five teams that have been biting at each other's heels all season long.
Yeah, we knew it were going to be tough at the start of the year, and it's turned out that way. And it, for it to come down to the last game, it has been a good year this year, and it brings a lot of excitement for this weekend.
So Toulouse win, they're at home. You got to argue maybe they've got everything to play for. A little bit of favoritism going their way. So it comes down to you guys on that given Sunday. Massive game. It's sort of like your whole season rolled into one, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it will be massive. Hopefully we can get a good crowd down to cheer us on, and that'll be a big help going into the game, and hopefully we can pull off a win. We nearly had them at their place, but unfortunately just dropped off towards end, so hopefully we can turn it round and bring it home anyway.
So all you Halifax supporters out there listening, wherever you are, tell your friends, tell your family, get down and support the boys this weekend down at the Shay. Could be a celebration beforehand if Everson get the win over. If not, get down there and let the boys put on a good display. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go for a break right now. We'll be back in a little bit talking about all the sport's hottest topics. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show in the studio here with Halifax's James Saltonstall and Ewan, producer Ewan, the one, the only. We're giving away our family pass to the Halifax versus Holkiau home match this coming Sunday down at the Shay. Massive game for them. So if you want to find out how you can pick up that family pass, just leave your details at pulse1.co.uk and we'll pick someone at random come Friday afternoon. And we'll get back in touch with you via the same platform, be an email, won't it? Yes.
And a call from yours truly.
Say that again.
And a call from me.
And call a phone call from producer Ewan. He's all over it.
All over it.
Okay, so let's get into some of the hottest topics in the sport of rugby league. This is an important one, I think, because the sport of rugby league is sort of stagnated from a growth point of view. And the sport is really highly motivated to get in behind becoming a little more relevant, becoming a little more first world. And we know that making sure that the environment is engaging, happy, you know, positive experience when a brand new supporter comes in. Now, they have an activity that most clubs, Super League clubs at least, will run through their foundations, their charity organisations or their community arm called Sky Try. And that's where Sky Sports invests an X amount of sums for those charities to go into schools and promote the sport of rugby league, try and encourage new supporters to come and try the sport and also enjoy the sport. So try playing the sport via the community foundations and also come and be entertained by world-class and first-grade rugby league in the stadiums with the professional teams. Now, but one of the things that can be a big withdrawal and roadblock and stop people from going in is current supporter bases that, you know, swear and carry on and don't make it an engaging environment. And fans... fans could face sport-wide bans because apparently Super League clubs could be set to vote through complete blanket bans for supporters. So if you get banned from your club, you get banned from all clubs. And I just want us to engage in that sort of conversation because I know football had a terrible, terrible name for not being welcoming to young children, families and females. But they've moved themselves over the last decade to really drive the family experience and really become more engaging. Because the reality is, unless you get kids into the game, they're going to die. You know, your marketplace is going to die off. So we need to make those sort of environments welcoming. So, James, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's massive that we try and get new people involved in the game. So cleaning up any kind of antisocial behaviour in stadiums is a big start, obviously. As, like you said, people get older, if there's no younger generation coming through supporting the clubs, then as fan bases drop, clubs are going to struggle and we'll see less and less teams competing. So I think it is a big thing to.
And we've always promoted ourselves as a family sport, haven't we? I mean, you're right. We need to be able to engage with that. But the only way we can be a truly family sport is by everybody embracing it. You know, whilst you were playing for Siddle growing up with Halifax, did you ever get along when Halifax was in the Super League?
Yeah, my dad's always been a big rugby fan, so from a young age he used to take me to watch, and I've always gone and watched Halifax and supported him. So
as a young kid, did you ever get involved? Were there ever things that happened in the game of rugby league in and around you that was frightening, I guess?
Nothing particular that I can remember. Oh, actually, there is one time it was more to do with Siddle in Challenge Cup. Mm-hmm. We played Ulkeara a couple of times and quite a bit of like fan violence in stadiums,
right?
And that. So that can, obviously for people who aren't used to seeing that could be off-putting to future generations.
And the reality, it seems to be they're just a small minority of supporters that actually do that. I mean, there are movements towards clubs creating, and I'm actually working with Salford on the side of part of what my bigger business does, and we're looking at developing a fans charter, because it's no good. I mean, I'd love to know your thoughts on this as well, Ewan. It's no good organisations impressing their rules upon fans. If it's developed by the fans, for the fans, then it almost becomes the supporters are the ones that champion it. And I think, isn't that important?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak for the likes of Bradford City, Huddersfield Town, who I know over the past certainly decade, mm-hmm, have made, you know, the leaps and bounds in terms of bringing families on board and things like that. And, you know, let's be honest, football has not got the reputation it used to have in the 80s.
No, it doesn't.
To a certain degree, early 90s. But I've always grown up thinking and believing that rugby league is a family sport, yeah, for absolute sure, 100%.
And I think that's one of the things that we have to consider. And I like that the Super League clubs are now starting to band together a lot. I think as a sport, we've been, we could be accused, and quite rightly so, of having a game within the game where clubs haven't spoken to one another. They're, for whatever, jealousy or whatever, but they haven't worked together enough to find solutions for the bigger game problems. And I think rugby league being a family sport and being known as a family sport, especially if you look at Ewan, who's not involved in the culture like you and I are, James, if the perception is that it is a family sport, then we need to protect that aggressively, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. I was always brought up as rugby being a family sport and somewhere where it was a safe environment for kids and obviously women as well. So we need to protect that. And like you said, clubs, what if they can do a bit more to work together to keep that environment going, then it'll be beneficial for everyone.
It sure will. And I think starting, you know, all clubs developing fans charters where the fans champion it. And actually, because we have the technology now, we can almost document it happening in real time, you know, fans talking about different aspects, what sort of language should be appropriate. You know, everyone loves it. I love that. Unlike other sports like football where you can't drink on the terraces, in rugby league you can, but as long as it's within moderation. But they, you know, the supporters determine what moderation means. You know, someone carrying on and being basically blind, that's not appropriate behaviour. That for me as a father with a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, I don't want to have my children around that. I want them to go and be in an environment where they can see the positive fun, and it stains on their memories. You know, in their memories, they're thinking, I love that experience down there. Because we all know, you and you may not follow rugby, but you follow sport.
Yeah.
And when the atmosphere at whatever sporting venue, there's nothing that can compare to that.
No, correct. I mean, the likes of fan parks seem to be becoming more and more popular nowadays. You know, they've got things for the kids to keep them engaged prior to the match kicking off. I mean, you know, as well as I do, I'm big into tennis. Been to Wimbledon loads.
That's right.
And they've got all sorts of stuff going on, you know, in different designated zones. So I don't see why that kind of thing can't be replicated throughout any club for any sport, really.
Yeah, well, it does. I mean, I was at the I've seen that the Bradford Bulls used to do that all the time. They had
bouncy castles,
rolls, bouncy castles, and then there was a festival that would go on in and around the pitch.
Yeah.
I went to the Lancashire versus Yorkshire cricket match on last Friday night, and it got rained off. It was just warming up to be a cracking match as well. But in their fan zones, they had loads of engagement opportunities for sponsors to come in. And that's really the type of sponsor you want, someone that can enhance an experience, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all it's all about. It's about enhancing the experience of a match goer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they walk away from that thinking, wow, this is great, I'm definitely coming back here again, then happy days, that's goal achieved, is it not?
Yeah, that's right. That is.
Keep them, hook them and keep them.
Have you, James, as a player yourself, and obviously there's a lot more control mechanisms that are available in Super League than there are in the Championship, so more stewards, et cetera, more professional stewards. A lot of the Championship clubs will find their stewards locally and function themselves. But have you ever experienced any of that sort of attacks from supporters?
No. Everything I've seen, there's never been any trouble, and I'd never say a bad word to put anyone off coming. I do think it is a family environment, and if there is any trouble, I don't think you need to leave it down to the stewards. I think sometimes the supporters themselves can like help each other out and stick together that way. So,
and that's when it's the most powerful, when supporters are self-policing. That's when, and they don't tolerate, discriminant behaviour or any type of, behaviour that impacts on the brand of their club. And I think that's where it's really important that you have to be able to grab a supporter base that can fuse into, those values of the club. All right, well, we're going to go to a break again. When we come back, we'll continue on with all the hottest topics in the sport of rugby league. Stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Rob Hunter Paul Show. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Halifax's James Saltonstall. We're giving away a family pass to the Halifax versus Hull KR match down at the Shade this coming Sunday afternoon. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff, but get there earlier because there's going to be loads on. Look, it's going to be a busy game, James, because we're getting loads of entries already as the show's going on for the show. And that tells us how much interest is in the game. So you guys must be expecting a bumper crowd.
Yeah, no, it's a massive game, not just for us, but for the club as well. So the more we can get down there, the better for everyone.
So ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get a chance to win that family pass, just leave your details at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. Leave an email, leave your email address, just leave your details, and we'll pick someone at random come Friday afternoon. And just a note, if you don't think that you play a part in the outcomes of a game, you're fooling yourself. You certainly do. There's a reason why you call it the 14th man. That 14th man can make the 13 on the field play, make you go from an ordinary player to a good player, and good players to great players. And this game will mean everything for Fax this Sunday. So get down there and support them. All right, we're looking at some of the hottest topics in the sport of rugby league. Danny Mack announced that he would be leaving. Danny Maguire announced that he'd be leaving Leeds Rhinos last week, and it's official that he'll be joining Hull KR come 2018. What are your thoughts on that, James?
No, well, obviously he's been a good servant for the Leeds club, and I think he's pretty much won everything there is to win in the game with them, so I think he's probably just looking for a fresh challenge, and obviously at Hull KR it'll be something different, but I'm sure he'll thrive on it.
I think I was looking at there was an infographic that was posted out on social media last week, and there was like, I think it was 7 Super League wins, something ridiculous like that, or 6 Super League rings, 2 Challenge Cup wins, and 3 World Club wins. And it's like, Hull KR, if they do get promoted into the Super League in 2018, for 2018, they're probably not going to go in as a favourite as Championship clubs, going into that competition do happen, is there a risk that he might sully his, you know, you look at Jamie Peacock, you look at Kevin Sinfield, both of them went out on championship winning seasons. They went out in 2015. Both of them went out on the, where they won the League Leaders Shield, Challenge Cup and the Super League itself. You can't go out on a bigger high than that. So for Danny Mac, is there maybe a discussion, an argument to say that he may sully his brilliant career?
Well, I'm not sure. I think what he has done in the game will be remembered for. I think the Super League competition nowadays is a lot more open than it was a few years ago. So you can't really predict who's going to be up there, who's going to win. So Leeds this year are doing quite well at the moment. So if they can keep that up, he may still go out on a high.
Can I ask you this question then? The number of Super League matches that you did get to play in, did you ever play against Danny Maggs?
No, I've never played against Danny Maguire, but he's a player I've watched a lot, and he's always seemed to be on a winning team, so he must be doing something right.
Yeah, to be admired. He was absolutely, you know, I was playing during, obviously, for the Bradford Bulls during that golden era, and he was a young, one of those young starlets coming through with the Leeds Rhinos, Kevin Sinfield, Jamie Jones Buchanan, Rob Burrow, and we'll get to Rob in a second, but Danny Mack as well. And he was frightening, I've got to admit. You know, there's few players in the world of rugby league that you say you're frightened to play against.
As a TV viewer watching that, he was always the one that you'd fear would be on the team sheet, as well as the guys you just mentioned. But we, you know, you look at it from on Sky Sports or whatever, and you think, oh, God, Maguire.
I mean, I wasn't a forward, so I didn't really mix it with JJB. But Kevin Sinfield, he played in the halves. You didn't fear him, but when you look back and you see the impact and the leadership that he gave them, he was probably the most influential player. But you didn't fear him because, you know, when you ran with the ball, you could tackle him. When he wasn't going to bash you, although in saying that, he did knock me out a couple of times. But quite a few people knocked me out. I wasn't the biggest player. But Danny Mack and Rob Burrow, they were frightening. I mean, there was only one other player. I didn't fear anyone in the Australian team. Maybe Wendell Salier a little bit. But Jason Robinson, freak, you feared him because you could do something that just, yeah. You could do stuff that no one else could. But Rob Burrow and Danny Mack, to have two of them, when they were in their pomp, oh, they're frightening. And as soon as he got into the backfield, Danny Mack got into the backfield and he got the ball in his hands. That was it. It was all over. Very few fullbacks could catch him. You know, even if he was running at them, he would still be able to put on some footwork and skin them. So, I think you're right. There's nothing that's going to take away from the brilliant years that he had during, you know, the cream of his career. He's probably going to be able to add quite a lot to the whole KR squad when he gets out there. That experience will be really, really important. It just makes me wonder how much of a part Jamie Peacock played in that actual deal coming together. So that'd be really, really iconic to see how that happens. Now, another couple of pieces of Leeds gossip going on, or not gossip, but talking points. Rob Burrow hangs up his boots. And it is starting to become a bit of an end of the era. Danny Mack leaves. Rob Burrow decides to hang up his boots also. What are your thoughts on Rob Burrow? He's probably, for me, during these latter part of the years, he's been the one player that's been consistently able to break defenses down. You know, Danny Mack has sort of come to the back end of his career where he's not making as many breaks. People are starting to hold on to his shorts a little bit more than they used to, maybe not finishing the tries that he used to. But Rob Burrow, still over the last couple of years, has been able to split defenses like the freak he is.
Yeah, no, definitely. He's electric and he's quick. Hard to deal with. Obviously, a player of his calibre, he could still keep playing if he wanted to. Obviously, he's chosen not to, and I think that's his decision, and he's going out again on a highway, still playing a good level of rugby.
Yeah, I think that's the key, but he's also got something lined up. Just makes me curious to know if Danny Maggs had been offered a coaching job or not. You know, it's sort of like, oh, well, here's a pathway for you to, you know, are you going to hang up your boots? We're not going to offer you a contract at the end of this year, but we'd like you to stay on board as, you know, part of our coaching. You know, I'd be surprised if they didn't.
No, yeah, I think for someone who's been at the club from such a young age and won so much at the club, I think obviously a club the size of Leeds as well would look to look after former players who've done such wonders for them.
I mean, if he's not interested in coaching, put him in the commercial department. There's businesses in Leeds that have, you know, Leeds have a very big commercial network, and there's businesses in Leeds that would love to, you know, have Danny Maguire come and drop off the tickets at theirs, you know, just to be able to mix in that sort of company. They must be able to do it. Now, an interesting point that was on one of the rugby league websites, one of the gossip websites, and Jack Walker has turned Leeds Rhinos down. So Jack Walker is a young academy player that's currently acting at fullback. And his reason for turning them down is he wants to guarantee that he's going to be nurtured in that fullback role. And now, you're a fullback, winger, fullback. Yeah, fullback. I'm guessing for you, James, fullback would be your preferred position, because I've played both wing and fullback as well, and I find wing boring. Yeah. It's integral, don't get me wrong, and you have to do a lot of the dirty stuff as well, you know, when you're trying to get your team on the front foot, getting the forwards on those first two or three plays. And I got to admit, when I played fullback and wing, I didn't like doing that, because I'm not a big bloke and I used to get snapped in half. But when I played fullback for the Bulls, I got to do that after either Leslie Vinicolo had a run or Tevito Vaikona had a run. So both of those are front rowers and wingers' bodies. They'd smash holes and then I'd come on the next play. I'll put my hand up and admit it. I was a second play merchant with the half season that I played at fullback for the Bulls. But it's purely and simply an attacking role. And that's what I loved about it. What are your thoughts on Jack's position? First, what are your thoughts on what's your favourite position? I'm curious about that. Well, what's your position on Jack Walker's decision to turn Leeds Rhinos down?
No, yeah, I think, like you said, everyone enjoys playing fullback. You've got the freedom to pick and choose when you want to come into the game and when you can see something happening, whereas on the wing it's more doing the hard yards for you.
Let's be honest,
teammates.
You're a muscly linesman on the wing, aren't you? You're a muscly linesman standing out there waiting for the ball to get past you.
Yeah, no, so it can get a bit frustrating if you don't get the opportunities you'd like, but...
Look, I'm just going to cut across here. I've just seen what the time is. We've got to go take another break. I'm going to come back to you and ask you about your thoughts. You know, you've recently been that young player, given the opportunity to play full-time rugby league. So I'd love to understand what you think's going through his mind at this point in time. So, ladies and gentlemen, stick with us. So we're going to come back. We're going to be talking about all the upcoming games for this weekend. It's so tight at the top of the Super League and in the championship itself. Also, loads more to cover. Stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the final segment of the show. We're giving away a family pass to that massive game for Halifax down at the Shay this coming Sunday against Hull KR. It may be a do or die game for them if they're going to get into that, stay in that top four, which they're currently sitting in. All you need to do, very simple, just need to leave your contact details at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, and we'll pick someone at random on Friday afternoon. You produce you and we'll give you a bell on the phone and we'll let you know how you can pick up those tickets. James, before we went to the break, I was asking you the question about Jack Walker, the young Leeds Rhinos number one fullback who's actively playing. I mean, I think in the last six games he's scored 5 tries, which isn't a bad strike rate for a young man. He's turned the Leeds Rhinos down, and Gary Hetherington was quoted as saying this is the first time any of the academy players have actually turned that jump from being a part-time into the full-time first-team squad. And he's a bit baffled by it. Brian McDermott coming out and saying, you know, the club... Well, Jack Walker's saying, well, he wants to be able to develop and be nurtured in that fullback role. That's where his heart and mind is. Brian McDermott's saying that nobody has a set position. You know, you could be a front row and end up playing in the back row, or even in the centres if you've got the natural ability and to do it. It's really the club comes first. So both parties has a pretty good argument. But what are your thoughts on it? You're a young man who's just come through out of that sort of scholarship development system yourself, given the opportunity to go into the first team. Give us your thoughts on it.
No, yeah, I can understand, obviously, from a club perspective, as a player, you are contracted to that club. So where they ask you to play, is you've got to play, really. But for a, on a personal note, especially as a young player, I think all you want to do is play. And I think at Leeds, they've seen that. Obviously, they've just signed Ashton Goulding on a long-term contract too. They've given the number one jersey to. So for him personally, he might see better opportunities to be playing week in, week out elsewhere. And as a young player, that's what you need to be doing, is playing. So I can understand why he might be thinking of leaving.
Yeah, but at the same time as that, you know, all clubs need to be able to have those sort of options. And competitive, what do you call it, competition, internal competition always brings the best out in you. Is he sort of, saying, well, maybe I don't think I'm good enough?
No, yeah, I can see that argument as well, obviously. If there's a good player in your position at the club, you want to challenge yourself to prove you're better than them to get that shirt every week. So maybe he doesn't see, he wants to fight for the position. He thinks he might just be able to get a guaranteed start elsewhere.
Yeah, it's near on impossible for the Leeds Rhinos to make that commitment to him, isn't it? Because we know the nature of professional sports. It's an impact sport. It's a collision sport. You can't but have to think of secondary options when it comes to developing. You know, injuries happen in our sport. You're going to lose at least six players a season
He's still only a young lad as well, so obviously stepping up to Super League against experienced players who've been around the game for a while, he could be more prone to picking up a couple of injuries as his body's still developing. So
and he's not the biggest bloke in the world. He's got some amazing footwork. But, I mean, from his own point of view, what if he could develop his ball-playing skills? What if, from his own point, you know, he might be cutting his nose off despite his face by saying, no, I want to solidify my position. I would take the approach, personally, back in the day, because I got to admit, I come over as a standoff. I came to England as a standoff. I had my goal set on playing standoff. The halfback and standoff positions in back in those days, back in the 90s, they were a little bit different in the respect. Now the halves play a very similar role, and you could almost say that a fullback and, you know, the spine of the team, your hooker, your halves, and your fullback play very similar roles. But definitely standoff and halfback, we don't know where one starts and the other finishes nowadays. But back in my days, the standoff, the halfback was a little bloke that organised everything, and the standoff was the guy that arced in and, you know, come up with some of the big special marquee type of plays. And that's what I had my heart set on. And I remember kicking the door in and to Matthew Elliott, who was a Bradford Bulls head coach at that time, and saying, I'm going to be the standoff in this team. I know you got other players lined up and they're in front of me, but I'm going to be the standoff. And I remember him sort of swaying back on his chair and saying, are you now? Well, that's interesting, because, you know, you're right. There are players in front of you at this point in time. And I'm not sure where I think your best role is. Brian, he was there and he was setting up for Brian Smith before he came over from his Australian commitment. When Brian Smith got there, he said, no, you're not standoff. You're halfback. He put me in a halfback. But They had the wherewithal to teach me that the game is so much bigger than the individual. And I think this is where Leeds have to take their strong position. The game is bigger than the individual. And with him only being a young man, he may not know what opportunities are available to him if he broadens his horizon, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Leeds are known as one of the biggest clubs in the game as well. So they've always seem to have a good production of young talent coming through. So if he does decide to leave, there'll always be someone behind him ready to take his spot.
I mean, they've got one of the biggest talent pools to choose from. They draw from all over West Yorkshire. They draw from all over the country. There's a lot of Leeds Rhino supporters in Cymru as well, where there's a big talent pool up there as well. A lot of Siddle lads end up going to play for Leeds as well. So you'll be familiar with that. There's a few academies that are the standout academies. Warrington, where you were one of them. Leeds Rhinos, Wigan, St. Helens, Bradford were thereabouts also for a number of years. These academies are the ones that a lot of kids from all over the country want to go and play for. And Brian McDermott makes that comment that there's so much, the club has been built on that academy system. and that academy draw from academy stepping up into the first team and keeping the players feeling like they're a part of the system and feeling like, you know, they're cultured into the club themselves. What was it like in Warrington?
Yeah, no, I think it was the same over there, obviously.
Tony Smith helped nurture that at Leeds, didn't he?
Yeah, as young players, when you got brought through, you just treat us like you was been there for a long time. So the connection was always just to make sure everyone was happy and felt like you fit in, really.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, well, good luck to the young man anyway. Whatever he decides, we hope that he makes a decision that's all about his development. And I think he's thinking that's exactly what he's doing. But I think also staying within that, the nurturing role that they have in Leeds, I think both things will be done. Both development will also be achieved. Now, I just want to quickly have a look at the Super League table. We've been talking a lot of Championship tonight, but the Super League table is really interesting. Over the last few years, going into the Super 8 playoffs, like we've got after this weekend, this is the last round coming up this weekend. Going into that week, it's almost a line was drawn under the teams that were sort of in 7th, 8th, and 6th, 7th, and 8th spot. I mean, they were so far separated from the top four playoff positions that they just were making up numbers. I remember Leon and I having this conversation a couple of years ago on this show. But if you look at Wigan, Warriors on 21 points, Huddersfield on 21 points, St Helens on 23, Hull FC on 25, and both Salford and Wakefield are on 26. There's only 5 points that separate those top six clubs of that time. What are your thoughts on that? It's never been tight at Super League, has it?
No, yeah, it's an exciting time for the competition, obviously. It's getting a lot closer, and with only 5 points separating with 8 games to go, there's still a chance for any of them teams to make the top four and get into the semi-finals.
I mean, you've got to expect Wigan are going to have a run at some point in time. I mean, they lost to Warrington last week, which was a surprise, but you've got to expect that they'll have a run.
Yeah, you'd think a big club like Wigan, they've still got a lot of quality players out there, so you'd expect them in these big games. Wigan normally tend to fare better, so you can see them picking up a few wins and marching up the table.
Well, Huddersfield Giants have turned the corner as well. They're starting to get the points underneath their belt. Hull FC, they're still, by their own standards, they think they're underperforming. St Helens have stepped up as well. And Salford also, team that has dropped off over the last couple of weeks. Big game this weekend, though, down at the Shay. Halifax, James is going to be in full flight. James, thank you for being on the show tonight. Been absolutely brilliant having you in here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening at home, wherever you are. This was the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.